Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. We're on here Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 Eastern Time. And this has been an awesome week this week. We've already got someone online, but I'm going to first turn it over to Michael and let him do a good morning hello.
Welcome to the show. We're delighted that you're here. We're honored to be able to support you in the process of learning the ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness and all of the tools that we teach. So we've got somebody who's got a question online. Let's just dive right into that, Jeannie.
Well, it's not a question, Michael. Hello?
Yes.
It's not a question on the line. This is a guest that we have. I just let Jeannie know that this should be Ari.
Oh, Ari. Hello? This must be Ari.
Yes, you can conclude it is me. I can be a guest too, but yeah, I can also be.
That's awesome. Good morning, Ari. You're a hard man to catch up with.
Good morning. Well, you see, the radio might be the best spot.
There you go. It seems like we've been playing telephone tag for about 3 months.
Yeah, it has been.
So let me introduce Ari. Ari is our chef extraordinaire who comes to Heartland and helps us to put together the most awesome food that it's just amazing. There are so many people who come back to Heartland primarily for the food, and Ari does this just incredible fresh and raw food and makes it fun and exciting and learning experience for everybody. When somebody comes to Heartland, they get the opportunity to get in the kitchen with Ari and put their hands on the food. And one of the things that always inspires me when I watch Ari work with people is people just can't stop asking questions. And Ari, you just can't stop answering them. You just go and go and go, and you're such a fountain of information about food. And the space that you hold in the kitchen is absolutely fabulous. And we're delighted that you're here.
Well, thank you. Nice to be here.
Yeah.
And well, I guess one thing that a lot of people don't know about, especially older viewers, was basically our brand new kitchen.
Oh, yes.
That we're no longer in that little compartmentalized three bizarre spaces with the sliding glass door in the middle. We're in one nice big teaching kitchen.
Yes. Yes, the space opened up awesomely. We've got Terry and David to thank for that. And gee, I'm not even sure who all participated in that project, but David and Terry were the prime leaders on taking that wall out of there and opening that space up. And yeah, the kitchen is fabulous. And where do you see the new bathrooms, Ari? They're just awesome. The ceiling has just been completed in that room. And so lots of just fabulous things happening. We'll have the whole food service space moved over for this summer, which we didn't quite get done for last summer. And so for anybody that's been to Heartland, you're going to see a whole new heart center.
Where's it moving to when you say
where the food bar used to be?
Oh, and to the side there.
This summer we used that. We're moving it around now to the opposite side. So
I thought there was something new in the works that I had no idea about.
No, just the moving the food service around to the side of the kitchen rather than the front of the kitchen there.
And the kitchen is a much nicer open space to work in now.
Yeah,
I mean, just definitely. From the standpoint, it also gives people a chance to see where we used to have people doing different tasks or creating their dish. Now everyone's next to each other, and you can see how the whole process goes into each food.
And everybody gets to listen to you as you just are this fountain of wisdom about food and about health. And so that's pretty cool.
Well, thank you. And pretty much I can answer, I guess, most questions, at least that have been asked.
So I guess what we might do at this moment give out our phone number for the call-in line. If anybody has any questions for Ari about fresh and raw food, about nutrition, and everything that relates to the food program that we do at Heartland, you could call in at 646-200-4169. If you want to call us and you have a question for Ari, Ari is a chef extraordinaire, one of the favorite stories I'd like to tell about you, Ari, is the dinner that you did for six people for someone who's everybody in the world would recognize their name, but probably we shouldn't be talking about the specific name. But I'm remembering, what was the cost of that meal for six people that they flew you by jet out to California to do or out to Washington to do?
Well, it was roughly $60,000+ plus extras.
$60,000+ extras.
Right.
For six people.
But, I mean, it was done to a level of no one was allowed to wear perfume, no one was allowed to have any of their clothes in fabric softener or their clothes washed in anything with a scent. All of our glasses, and there was some wine pairings, a very fine wine, and all of our glasses had to be wiped with non-bleached cotton, and then the glasses were ozonated so that no flavors from anything else would transfer from one to another. So it was a very intense, plus, of course, we bought the best of anything and everything you could find on the planet.
Yeah, I'm remembering the you FedExed in from, if I remember correctly, it was Australia or New Zealand, some, what was it that you had FedExed in? Just, you know, freshly picked, put on a FedEx and ushered in. I don't remember what that was, but...
I don't actually remember. I know we had... We had FedEx Colorado lamb that was purely mountain-fed and left free. From New Zealand, we brought in, I don't recall the type of fish, but it was a fish. And it was supposedly one of the cleanest fishes on the planet. It was in the ruffy family, but it wasn't a ruffy. You know, it was a deep-water, non-polluted, and it's considered one of the least toxic fish there is.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike now, you know.
And there was some kind of a radish or something like that, I think, that you brought in from Australia.
Radish, and then we brought in truffles and fresh lavender from northern part of France. It's kind of fun when you shop through FedEx because then you just find out what is the best. And, you know, any farmer will pack it properly and ship it for you. And
right.
So the worldwide supermarket becomes, you know, a totally different place for you. Plus, far as seeds and, I mean, even the seeds we get down at Heartland and the different sprouted items, I mean, there are superfoods and there are super seeds, and now they're all available to us.
Right.
And now with the new... Our new sprouting program, which I want David to come on because he's been kind of working on it, seems to be working very well. David, all of our live sprouts?
We are doing the sprouts, and as far as an understanding of it, there's no one I've met that knows more about it than Ari. He's the one that's been coaching me, actually, when he was here last year with him. He taught me several things about sprouting, which is really, it's relatively simple. The wonderful part about it is that we get to have fresh sprouts every day. And I think, Michael, you had mentioned one time before through a study that 2 ounces of fresh sprouts each day gives the body enough nutrition in order to sufficiently be rebuilding itself as part of whatever that it is that it needs with that. So we will have fresh sprouts here of all different types of that. And it's fun to be able to have them. It certainly enhances any salad or just makes just a fine salad with anything. With just having that. And with the raw foods, you know, a lot of folks, and Ari, you may want to expound on this a little bit. When people usually arrive, they wonder, you know, this raw food, what's it going to taste like? And gee whiz, I'm going to be eating lettuce for the next 9 days or 65 days, whatever that it is. And most of the people that have come here that I've experienced have just been in awe that they just could not even imagine that they could eat as well as they did, to feel as full as they did and as energetic as they did on raw food. And quite surprising. And they always go back with the remembrance of Ari and what they learned from it, because we offer them the opportunity to work with, as people just now heard, a very renowned chef, and to actually on hands operation in the kitchen with it. And it's a lot, it's so much fun. And I thank you so much, Ari, for all of the input and support that you've given me, especially around with the sprouts, because that's something that I was like, okay, all right. And with your support, which it encouraged me and supported me in growing them. So I have four trays of actually of sprouts going right now. Anybody want to come down for some, or come over, come up, down, wherever you're at?
Cool. Well, one of the things that always impresses me is we have people who come to Heartland and they'll hear we're doing this fresh and raw food, and they're dyed-in-the-wool meat eaters, and they're like, geez, I don't know if I can do that. And a very common comment afterward is, well, if I could eat like this all the time, I'd never put a piece of dead animal in my mouth again. This is what I do. And, of course, part of the process that that Ari does is teaches people how to take some of that home with them in their hands. So, Ari, is there anything in particular you have in mind that you'd like to share with us?
I also wanted one of the, just for me, one of the more meaningful things about also why we do this. And, you know, I do it off and on. But I guess it's the explanation of the vitality meter, which really works when you've experienced, when you've built up with great enzymes in food and all sorts of things, and your system starts to percolate. What comes up is amazing. Because there's ways to kind of shut things down energetically, and there's a way to just let things release energetically. So I wanted you to kind of just touch on that, because your vitality meter one is one of my favorites.
Well, it's
and
it
if
is
you remember
so
that
important.
Time we were singing down at the lake, and I was vital as all get up, we were singing the bear song and floating and everything else, and the next day, I mean, I reached a new high, and the next day I was just a wreck.
Lower than the snake's belly, right?
You got it.
Yeah, and you know, that sometimes can sound scary to people, but really it's so incredibly powerful to understand, because we carry these loads around that we don't know we're carrying, and we wonder why we're fatigued and such. And then when you get to that new level of vitality, your structure can, it's like, you know, it can dig into a deeper level of throwing off what didn't belong, and it's not pleasant, it's not Dr. Feelgood, but when you hit that new level of vitality, I don't think I shared with you, Ari, that back about 6 weeks ago, we were in Florida, and someone had introduced us to a rabbi there, and we did a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop in the Holocaust Museum in Fort Lauderdale, and there were about 40 people there, and the energy was so empowering and so high and so receptive. And I mean, I took actually a story along with me that I wasn't sure whether I was going to read, because of, you know, it's a pretty heavy duty issue, and everybody that was there was ready to handle it, ready to deal with it. We processed Holocaust issues in the Holocaust Museum during a Y workshop, and I got so high. It was just so empowering, the whole process, the whole space, and the willingness and the receptivity of everybody. And the next day I went into a major 10-day cleanse and healing crisis that was pretty, one of the most intense I've ever had. And it's so important to understand that, because when people are doing the right things, they will become symptomatic. And unfortunately, those who don't understand run for a pill to suppress and shut down what the structure's trying to work through and process through. So, yeah, that's a great point to bring up. It is definitely key. And that's why we serve the fresh and raw food, and the connectedness of a group working together to process through the hostilities and fears that never belonged in our human experience is just an awesome thing.
I would agree. I mean, and also that same kind of thing comes up, ironically, with people in the kitchen, because they've had an issue with me. And I don't have too many rules, other than if I think they're going through something major and they look like they're going to cut themselves, I ask them to leave the kitchen, because it's just not the time to process while you're cutting other people's foods. But we always
right.
try to keep a very calm kind of loving energy going into exactly what they're eating, of the space of, you know, trying to clean out, basically. And that's one thing that actually raw food does, is it cleans out things. It goes in as little scrub brushes and kind of scrubs away in there.
Cleans things out. And you do an awesome job of holding that sweet space in the kitchen for the energy that goes into the food and for the people that are learning about the food. Everybody that comes out of your kitchen is has had fun, and they're attracted to and more in delight with the food because of the space you hold, and that's certainly one of the awesome gifts that you bring to Heartland when you come.
Well, thank you.
And may I add that also one of the wonderful things about being able to be in the kitchen is that when what Ari was, I think, referring to was that there are so many issues that have come up in our past that being in the kitchen will resonate from our past, and also around meals and the things of the energy and the different exchanges that go on at dinner time or at meal times, and in the kitchen as well. You know, people preparing foods or foods that were prepared for us. A lot of folks have the experience of, wow, I remember when my mother did this or my father did this, and there's that exchange of working with people in an environment for them to take a look at that. So everything is geared around it, and the food plays such an important part in that whole healing process. You know, as you were just now talking about, Michael, the body, you know, the meter for allowing things to come up, and at the same time, whether we're learning how to put things into the body to handle the different changes that's going on in the universe this morning, today. I was listening this morning to Carol Guy's program, and there was some conversation around that as we vitalize our bodies, then what we're doing is making in preparation for the shifting and the changes of all the different things that are geared around 2012 and the transition and all that, that our body needs to be at a nutritional level that it can handle those changes, those vibrational changes. So,
ladies and gentlemen who are listening on the phone or in the chat room, now's the time to call and talk to Chef Extraordinaire Ari about any questions you have about food. He is such a wealth and fountainhead of knowledge. So call in and ask your question. The call-in number is 646-200-4169. And when you call in, just hit 1 after the automated line answers, and that will put you in the queue to ask questions. And Jeannie will key you in. So, Ari, from your perspective, Ari, what would be the bottom line of why to do the fresh and raw foods as opposed to, well, why don't we just, you know, cook it and put in a little fat back and load it with salt and pepper and then eat?
Bottom line, I would say, would probably be self-respect for the planet. If you were picking just like the total bottom line. Because we're not really respectful of the planet and how we treat our food, how we raise our food, how we waste a lot of resources in getting the food to us and the types of food. So I would say that's kind of, if you put me on a bottom line, that would be the bottom line. From that, there's a whole host of different beliefs within the food group. Like don't eat tortured meat would be up on my bottom line one. If you are going to eat meat and you are going to eat fish or other things, yeah, buy the better stuff. Pay a little extra and know your animal wasn't tortured or caught in a ginormous net and suffocated before. You know, was actually packaged. So, and I think that changes the energy within itself, just the purpose of the food.
So knowing the source of the food.
Knowing the source you're getting the food from, and being able to trust that the animal was treated in a humane manner, literally changes the chemistry of the meat.
Literally does. I mean, they've done studies, real simple ones, just about adrenaline. And that autistic girl who, I can't think of the name of the movie, but she was the one who actually came up with the handling of cattle.
Uh-huh.
She was a genius. Do you know which movie I'm talking about? Totally autistic,
but a savant in the area of food.
But basically her methods, which they thought at first, of course, were crazy, were, you know, are used today. And she was a big kind of a person of just they need to be treated humane when they go off to slaughter, that they shouldn't just, you know, go through prodding and sticking. And, you know, she discovered that cows run better in round circles, better than square circles. And she revolutionized how cows are killed, which a lot of people feel is much more humane. Otherwise, when a cow knows he's going to die, you have adrenaline, or if you want to call it fear, you want to call it anger, shot into the meat, and you're eating meat ridden with adrenaline and fear, which anybody waiting to be slaughtered would feel that way.
Yeah, Jeannie's family is a farm family, and she shared with me how they knew on the farm if they didn't get that animal with the first shot, they didn't eat it, that it had to be done. And she says, especially pigs, that that they have to be killed with the first shot, otherwise the meat is so tainted with the chemicals of fear and such. And we do have a question on the line. So I think it's Nene who's coming on the line.
Yes.
We've heard from Nene. And welcome, young lady. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon. Fine, thank you very much. And I would like to share that I've experienced going through this process of cleansing spiritually and energetically. I have a spontaneous change in my desire to eat. I find it spontaneously that I always like vegetables, but now it's like very intense, a lot more into the fruits and vegetables.
So as you've been doing your work, you've noticed a shift in your taste and your attraction
yes.
to different foods?
Yes. It's like I haven't had meat, red meat in, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 months, but it's spontaneous. It's not, I don't think about it. It's just that I go to the supermarket and I feel, oh, I want to have kale, I want to have spinach, and in my mind, I create my salad and this and that. So for me, it's been spontaneous.
And it very well can be because, you know, as food is marketed, I mean, food is our largest drug available over the counter. And, you know, we can choose how to self-medicate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you would feel very different than if you sat down and ate a tossed salad than you would a T-bone steak. And you can make a unconscious choice in your mind which drug to pick, because also it can hold down or let out feelings. But food
yeah.
definitely is their largest, you know, over-the-counter drug there is.
Yeah, there's actually a book written by the Raw Family, Victoria Buktinko, and it's the 12 Steps to Raw Food, and she treats any cooked food is a drug, and that it's a way to weaken, suppress, and keep things hidden. And when you start to move toward more vital food, taking away the drugs and more vital food, it definitely empowers. And as we were talking about the vitality meter, it raises the vitality level so that things that yesterday were invisible and couldn't be dealt with, all of a sudden they come up into sight and we're able to deal with them and move through them. So definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And also, talking about this, it made me remember about, you know, when you are in fear and you eat, the animal is in fear. Also, I remember when I was young and was breastfeeding my baby, I remember one issue that I was in the clinic and was in a hurry. I had to go back home, you know, see the baby, and I had so much milk. And I remember giving her, you know, breastfeeding her, and she got a her stomach, she started vomiting and everything. So it, because it was transferred in my milk, the energy was of, you know, that I was not in peace, she got it. So it makes perfect sense.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. It's all energy. When we start to see life through the eyes of energy, everything changes.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
So do you have a question for Ari about food, Nene?
Yes, since I do a lot of workout and a lot of, you know, physical exercise, if I could have a suggestion for a very good breakfast.
I didn't understand your question.
You said, repeat what you just said.
Okay, I go to the gym very often, gym to work out. I'm also a dancer. I do a lot of physical exercise, and I would like a suggestion for good supply of energy during the morning. In the morning.
Are you saying energy drinks or food?
No, food, like
regular food.
A combination of food that will keep me in even better energy to go and work out.
Well, most of it is going to be long-burning whole grain carbohydrates that they've used for thousands of years all over the place. You know, one of my favorites is an Egyptian dish, which is basically toasted. It's toasted brown rice and toasted fresh lentils with a lemon, and they make a curd sauce out of it. It's a soybean paste, and it self-curdles. And it's absolutely delicious, and half the country lives off that. They sell on street vendors on corners. You're combining, you know, wherever you combine beans and rice, you get a protein. Plus, you get a very long burn, which for a good, if you're a runner or athlete, helps out a lot. And then as far as your electrolytes go, because you're doing a lot of sweating and you're doing a lot of, you know, getting rid of water and minerals, doing any kind of seaweed wrap or seaweeds, which are very, very high in natural minerals, would also help that situation. Plus, they travel really well. If you make a rice roll with a couple extra sheets of seaweed, you'll be picking up a lot, and then drinking, you'll be picking up a lot of just straight good minerals.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much.
All right, Nene, you have a blessed day. Thanks for your call in.
Yeah, so far so good. Great. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Anyone else want to call in and ask Chef Ari a question about the food program at Heartland, or just about anything you might want to know about food? Our call in number is 646-200-4169. 646-200-4169. We'd love to hear your questions, or any questions you have relating to the work and that process of vitalizing to be able to go through things and come up the other side. We had a young lady at the medical center we were working with here in Pahrump the other day, and she went through we did a two-day intensive this weekend, and when we met her the week before, she was on the verge of, I guess you'd say, just about self-destruction, depressed, traumatized by family happenings, just in just really rough shape. And we did a little bit of processing with her one afternoon. She started to do worksheets, and then she did the two-day mini-intensive last weekend. And on Monday, you know, she works at this medical center. On Monday, she bounced into the office so excited and so on track and just right there supporting people. She had walked her father through a worksheet process, a very recalcitrant kind of father who took the worksheet, got it. Her two younger brothers were watching her do the worksheet with dad, and they're like, "Oh no, we want to do a worksheet too." And a mother that had abandoned the home 10 years earlier, had not been able to have any kind of reasonable conversation with her mother after the weekend, she picked up the phone, called mom, and was able to have a decent healing conversation with her mother. And so she was just on the Monday was just flying high.
And along about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Dr. Andraki brings her into the office to Jeannie. It's like, what's going on? What's wrong with her? And it's like, all right, nothing's wrong here. This is perfect. So when did you feel this way before? Oh, well, this goes back to, and so now the system is able to dig up and throw off the old loads, the old things that are carried, and we come out the other side without that burden, which means we're lighter, we fly faster, and are much, much more in alignment with what our real purpose is. So it is a part of the process, the willingness to go through that healing phase, that healing crisis that is not Dr. Feelgood becomes an important part of any real practice of healing. Instead of, oh, I have a symptom, let me take a pill so I can get rid of this symptom. No, I have vitality, I have symptoms, awesome. I can go through this, throw the load off, and come out the other side. So the whole process of healing can be understood in those terms, and that the whole organism pitches in when the vitality is there to support that process of healing, and the food becomes such a key, and the awesome recipes that Ari puts together and the wide, wide variety of foods, the desserts. Tell us about some of the desserts, Ari. They're just awesome.
Well, in my mind, they're actually no different than any other good dessert or well-thought-out dessert, except for they're not baked. I mean, our banana cream pie, I think, is a wonderful pie. Our crust is just made with dates, organic nuts, seeds, and it's pressed down just like you would a cheesecake dough, and then we pour a mixture of fresh-cut bananas and banana cream with a little agar, which is a clear-based seaweed, and it sets up, and you can make kiwi tarts with it, you can make chocolate mousse with it, you can do, it's endless. And you know, your mind only stops you to think, well, it has to be baked. You know, how would I make a nice strudel? You know, what would it look like? Well, there's a lot of ways to make it. I mean, you could make almost a nut blanket for it and then roll up fresh apples. And the sweeteners of cinnamon and agar and all the ones we have now available to us really create just a fabulous experience. And also, when you're talking about berries, so many times berries are covered with so much stuff, you don't really get to taste the berry. And we're fortunate to get a lot of great and some wild berries up there in certain part of the summer from the farmer's market, that they are just fantastic. And our tomatoes, there's one, my personal favorite, the yellow striper, has a perfume to it and a taste that if you're used to buying a tomato in a supermarket, grown in nothing, with relative little nutrients and will last on the shelf for a good 3 weeks, it's nothing like eating a tomato salad with fresh basil. So I would say that in all foods,
you're getting me salivating here, Ari.
Okay, but all our foods prepared properly, it's like one of the favorites down at Heartland, and I can say it openly because people always say it's delicious, but most people say yuck, is my kale salad. And
talk
people,
to me.
Yeah, David hates it. You know, it takes a couple days to prepare to break down the fibers in it. But once you do, it's one of the sweeter, loveliest, creamy spinach consistencies. And people don't believe it's kale. And you guys could vouch for that.
Yeah, the way you make that kale salad, that's one I actually, when I'm on the road every once in a while, I'll go scout out the ingredients and make that, and it's an awesome, easy salad to make. It does take time to do the natural breakdown using lemon and such, but the way you've developed to do that, and one of the other things that I really love to watch is people's faces. The first time that one of your fruit pies comes out that they've never seen, and out comes this bright, colorful, you know, the purple berries and the red strawberries and the green kiwi on this crust that's all actual food. There's nothing in this whole huge, beautiful tart fruit tart, but actual food. No sugar, no nothing, just actual food. And when people taste that, they're just like, their eyes light up like, I didn't know you could do this. I thought you had to have, you know, the flour and the sugar and the oven and all of that. And it's, I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, and in some ways, the reality of it is, you know, butter is so much more fragile and becomes rancid so much quicker than a very fine nut oil that you just grind fresh for that crust. You're actually eating a much, aside from that one's an animal product when one isn't, but the oil is a much finer oil for your system, for your skin to glow, for all that stuff to come out, because the molecule is actually smaller. It's like our new waters that they have with the fragmented molecules.
Right.
So you can absorb more. So you actually get more nutrition out of that pie, by far.
Definitely, definitely. And the visual is so awesome. The bright colors and the raw berries and such are just in fruits.
We have the 4th of July pie on the website, don't we? The one with the flag with the blueberries and the bananas.
I'm not sure. Is that on there? You're saying the 4th of July pie that had the flag and such. Is a picture of that on the website?
I don't know.
Not sure. I don't know for sure.
Oh.
Jeannie's not sure. Of course, Jeannie's only got 10,000 pages on the website, so maybe she doesn't memorize every one of them. This is a good time, actually, to acknowledge Jeannie for the awesome work that she's done in assembling the website. And if you haven't been to our website, www.whyagain.com, there's just such a wealth of information that she's assembled and put together in a way that it becomes very usable. There's so much free information. You can spend weeks and not find every corner of what she's created. She's just recently started and set up a Spanish site. We've been doing a lot of work out in Las Vegas and in Pahrump, Nevada with the Spanish community, and so that's something that's developing. And Anae in Florida has been helping us with translation to bring things into the Spanish language. So that's becoming a focus and a place we're moving to develop as well. And it all ties together. You know, in the ancient teachings, when they said holy, it didn't have to do with being down on your hands and knees. I can remember being a kid and being told there'd come a whole time when your life would be a prayer, and, you know, prayer meant down on your hands and knees. And the only thing I could imagine out of that was square knees. It's like, well, what are you talking about? But when you realize that whole means you work on all levels, that food level, the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, the forgiveness, the relationship, the financial, when you work all those things together, it makes for an awesome process of healing. And of course, one of the foundations of it is that that branch that Ari does so powerfully is the food program.
And may I add something here? That,
yes, sir.
With all of this and all of the with all of the talent that you have, Ari, with all of the knowledge that you have, and the demand for your services, how come it is that you take several weeks out of your year and out of your summer in order to come there to prepare more food? Is there more to it than just preparing the food?
Well, yeah, I've said it to you, actually, Michael, but what comes out of it, it's also a recharging of your batteries. And, you know, out
so
here...
What's something, Ari, though, that you take out of that? What is it that you have taken away from coming there and putting that in? What are the shifts? Is there something that has, each time that you come and you take something from there, what is it that you've taken from there?
You know, for me, I don't know that I would say I could hone it down to one thing. It's come down to it comes down to kind of just the shift. I don't even know how to describe it. Because one thing I wouldn't say, I think no one walks away with one thing. Everyone walks away there with a multiple of questions and a multiple of things that give you the opportunity to work on. But I would speak on the time of when I am down there. It's a very, very safe environment where you don't get, it's not easy to get to. Once you get there, you're pretty much just in the most beautiful setting, and everyone around you is there for one purpose, which is to help themselves and to aid their, whatever you want to call them, fellow guests. And it doesn't matter if it's a person who's doing work there, as a working guest, or is just a guest. Everyone is there to kind of move and do work. So it creates kind of a bubble that makes it easier to do your work. And, you know, there isn't much of a bubble on a double ride city bus when you're going to work and you want to think of something. It's just a whole different opportunity to look at things in a peaceful manner. So that's kind of, and it brings me peace.
Yep. Wonderful. Yeah, because there's more to it than just coming for the meal. It is the combination of it. And I know, you know, my experience of what I experience when you come is that there's this exchange that I get to have of connecting with you, and you and I have been partners during several processes, and your directness with me and to point out the different things that are going on with myself, and then for your, when you are so honest back with me on doing the responsibility communication exercise and then making the agreements and doing the work through the entire time, your receptivity to the feedback and the feedback that you give, especially when we're going into the breathing part of it. Just breathe, folks. Just breathe. Just let it go. You know, just that. And, you know, it supports me in continuing doing the work. And then the jovialness that you have, especially sharing the bear with you. You know, I think people should come just to be part of that level of energy that you bring to that. And I'm grateful for it. And I'm grateful that you've been my partner, and I look forward for you being here this next intensive season.
We are certainly honored and blessed, Ari, that you grace Heartland as often as you do, and that you support us in the way that you do with not only your food, but you know, your design ideas in the kitchen, just everything that you bring to the party is absolutely awesome. And we are so blessed with the different people that come to Heartland and support us with their genius. David showed up 4 years ago to spend a year and just never left. And David, we're blessed that you've done that. And Terry showed up and said, "Hey, I'm here to play and I'm here to bring this process forward," and has made such huge contributions in doing it. It's absolutely phenomenal to see what so many people have done to support and to make this process of healing ourselves, each other, and the planet an actuality in the world that is expanding and expanding in every direction around the globe.
And it is. It really is expanding. People are becoming much more aware of, well, that you see it in just commerce. That's why most stores do have an organic section now. That's why most stores even list people care where their food comes from. You never saw that something came from Mexico, it came from there. It was never listed. It said food, tomatoes, that's it. Now most of them are labeled. So people really do want to know how their food is handled, how, you know, responsible things are, and what's going on.
So, Jeannie, there are no questions in the chat room. Nobody's phoning in. We got a full chat room. Come on in the chat room, or if you're in the chat room and you have a question for Ari, this is an awesome opportunity to speak to a man that has more knowledge about food than any other human being I've ever run into. And our call-in number is area code 646 800-200-4169, and all you have to do is hit a 1, and you'll be put in the queue to receive a call or to ask a question or make a comment. So give us a call. Ari, if there's anything that you could say to people at home who are listening to this and going, well, yeah, I wish I could get involved in some of that, and how do I do that at home? Is there any input or advice you'd have to people on the food program that could assist people? Any shopping advice, where to shop, where to find the best food at decent prices, and how to assess what really is an uplifting kind of food, what isn't?
Yeah, I mean, to a point, I know my city well, so I could speak on, like, where to get nice things in Chicago and stuff. But pretty much what you always want to do is, I mean, what they've said all along, which is keep it whole, keep it closest to the source. You know, if you can find a farmer or know of a farmer, you know, the average egg that you get in a supermarket goes through so many processes. It is so far from a farm fresh egg, aside from what they do to them. It isn't even funny. I mean, basically a farmer takes it out, cleans it, and puts it in a refrigerator. You know, there it gets graded, goes to a central market distributed to the different supermarkets, then they pick a date that it can sit on a shelf. So, I mean, it's weeks old before you get it. So, as I said, keep it closest to the source. You know, as far as starting on your own, it's hard. And basically, I always recommend, even though it is not organic, to start at a local good fresh salad bar. And if you have one, at like Whole Foods has ones that are, start there. Because it's very hard for, if you're cooking by yourself, to cook, you know, one of this or one of that. All you need is a quarter of a red eggplant. All you need is a piece of purple onion. All you need is, if you want to create a very nice stir fry with tempeh or tofu. So it's easiest to kind of incorporate first the cut-up foods, and then you have to reach out and bring in friends that are going to support you in it. Because it is hard to, there are a lot of ingredients that go into these dishes. They're not hard at all to make. It's just a lot of chopping and all that for one person. So have more parties, be more social. Everyone can bring one of their favorite chopped vegetable, and you can marinate it and make it together. But most of the time, that's what I hear back from people is, oh, but I'll buy, you know, 3 of this and 3 peppers, and they don't use it. Well, that's true. But, you know, the way around it, like I said, is the salad bar.
Yeah, another thing, you know, one of the things that Michael J. does, being in Kansas City, is he does meetups, and there are a lot of people who have significant experience with doing organic foods and vegetarian foods and vegan foods and raw foods, and most often they are overly delighted to share their skills and their knowledge. And oftentimes, like I know, just about every time we talk to Michael J., he's, I'm having a meetup at my house and we're doing, and he'll make some kind of souffle. And another time they're doing a meetup with people doing raw food desserts, and everybody brings a dessert. And so there are also communities of people, if you look online and you're wanting to shift your food program out of the SAD diet, and of course the SAD diet is the standard American diet. You know, it's interesting, if you look around the globe, there's such a wide variety of dietary regimens that people live on and thrive on, and that means whale blubber in the far north to just every kind of dietary regimen possible that supports life. But you know, there is one food regimen, one food program in the world that consistently, when people tap into it and do it, it kills them. It shortens their lifespan, and it is the SAD diet, the standard American diet. You just can't eat what this culture eats and survive long term. You know, I forget what the numbers are exactly, but, you know, with all the billions that we spend in so-called health care, and we have the finest foods in the world, we're something like number 40 of the developed nations in the world in terms of health and preventable death. And the reason condition to a great degree is, of course, the emotional condition of our people, but also the dietary regimen is crazy. And people come from third world cultures who are alive and thriving, and they move into this standard American diet, and their lifespans are shortened. They go into degenerative disease and they die. So this food is it's not the key, but it's certainly a very important key.
No, I would definitely agree with that. And yet they still serve Jell-O in hospitals, which always boggles my mind.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre, isn't it? And, you know, you look at it and you know, it's a joke that pretty much everybody talks about is the food in hospitals, and yet these are supposed to be temples of healing. And you look at the trash that's so often served, and also that the people who have degrees in that hospital food science and prison food science and school food science, they're people who are lobbying Congress to create so-called laws to keep the competition out and make sure that they're the only ones that can give nutritional advice, which is just bizarre when you look at what kind of garbage is served in those places. It's unbelievable. I remember a young man who had cancer, and he was going into one of the country's primo children's cancer hospitals, and he was sharing a room with a young man who had just gone through surgery. And this kid came out of surgery, a very deep, life-threatening type of process going on. And his surgeon was there. We were standing there when we were checking this young man in. And his surgeon and his parents were just overjoyed because this kid drank a Coke and ate a hot dog coming out of cancer surgery. And, I mean, you want to talk about mass ignorance and insanity. This temple of healing serves a young man who just comes out of surgery, a major cancer surgery, a hot dog, and phosphoric acid, caffeine, sugar, and chemicalized flavorings. How bizarre is that? It's mind-boggling. And then we say, and then the experts say, well, we don't know what the cause of these diseases are. We don't know what's going on, but we're studying it. But we sure do have a treatment and a pill for you to help to make you feel better. And it's pretty crazy, pretty crazy.
Absolutely.
Any thoughts on that, Ari?
What's that?
I say, any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, no, that whole, I think there's a lot of people who don't understand, you know, any of that. You go into a nursing home and you read their menu or one of those critical care centers, and they have up for dinner, you know, a bologna sandwich, baked potato. It's like, who writes? I mean, there's a point of cheapness, but there's also a point of who is writing these menus. I mean,
yeah,
it obviously just makes no sense.
It certainly makes no sense, and we have people who are supposed experts in healing who say nutrition has nothing to do with health. And I mean, you got to really shut your eyes tightly to miss out on the research that's just prolific throughout the country and the journals that speak about nutrition and clinical medicine and the difference it makes. But there's certainly a whole portion of our culture that's totally ignorant in that regard.
Well, there's
so,
also a whole. What?
Okay.
I was saying there's a whole.
I'm asking what? Jeannie if she had any calls in the chat room.
Does
or
she?
The phone. So we're down to 6 minutes. What's your next highest thought, Ari?
No, I was going to say, but you know, the bottom line on a lot of this, and it's not nice to say, but a lot of it is just plain profit. And, you know, cheap foods are cheap. It's a basic statement, but true. And if you're convinced that cheap foods are cheap, which they're not in the long run, but in the short run, you know, going through the McDonald's line or the Burger King line or whatever and getting a 99-cent cheeseburger is cheap. But
yeah, and of course, if the purpose were to put just fill your stomach, you know, that's one thing. But the purpose is not to fill your stomach. The purpose is to give your structure nutrition and healing. And so it's definitely an important part of the process. Absolutely. There are nutrients, the energies, the frequencies in there that your structure needs to put forward the strongest, healthiest form that you could possibly have.
Right, as opposed to just serving, as I said, just cheap food. It doesn't mean highest nutrition, highest anything. It's just, it fills a void.
Right. And, of course, you can do things in a thrifty way and still get nutrition if you understand what you're doing and you're not just looking for the cheapest per pound on the shelf, but you can find, the farmers markets are wonderful places. And I think we should be lobbying our schools and our prisons and such to be using food that's grown by local farmers, not dragging something halfway across the globe because they can buy it cheaply from a third world farmer who sprayed it with DDT and defecated in the field the afternoon before he picked it and sending it into America. And the amount of foodborne illness is just unbelievable being carried from this this practice, that we need to be supporting our local farmers and creating an economy that supports us having a food supply that's viable from within our country, and that it's a food supply that is not based in chemical alteration, but is actually unadulterated, and the way that food actually grows and feeds us. So spend time at your local farmer's market. Get to know your local farmer. There are many places where you can join a co-op, and for $20 a month or $40 a month or $100 a month, you can do various memberships. You get a bag of groceries directly from the farmer, and usually these are organic farmers doing this. You depending on the arrangement, you go and pick it up, or they will deliver it to you or deliver it to a central drop-off point. And very economically, you get a huge bag of these wonderful fruits and vegetables that are grown by local farmers, and it keeps the money in the community. It keeps the energy and the support in the community so that our communities are vital and alive. I know so many communities are just falling apart emotionally, physically, and people are escaping from those communities because there's no vitality, there's no life left in them. And so it's an important part of supporting our neighbors to be working within our own communities and creating that type of support.
No, I would totally agree with that.
David, we've got some local farmers there in the Ozarks that you in particular, being there as much as you are, become pretty connected with, the folks up near Ava and such. Anything to share about that?
Well, back to what Ari was talking about, that any time that we can consume things locally, there is an energetic exchange that is there, and it's been proven in lots of different research. It's like even drinking the water that's locally. It's better for you to drink water that's locally than it is to have water from another place. Often, when sometimes when people visit other states, other countries, for certainly, but even to drink water from another state, there's a significant taste difference, even though it may have even and processed, there is a difference, has a different energy to that. So, yeah, we love to be able to get it fresh. I think that most everybody on the planet looks so forward to summertime because they have this thing, wow, I get to go get some fresh tomatoes or fresh watermelons, or watermelons, period. And so just, keeping that in mind, supporting the people that are locally, as Ari was talking about. And, Ari, I just had the thought, and I don't know if the young lady is still on there. What about if the lady had made some wonderful
raw... We're down to about
70
seconds, David. David, we're down to about 70 seconds.
Okay, well, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
So maybe we can get Ari to come back and do another show with us. Of course, we've got Jack Frazier, our neighbor, who grows this awesome basil and spinach and just all kinds of wonderful things. And so,
and he can answer any farming question you have on soil preparation, best way to grow everything almost.
Definitely. So we're down
to the Ari, for taking the time out today to be on here. I know you just really only planned to be on a few minutes, and thank you for spending the whole hour with us. Much appreciated. And you and I will be talking soon again.
Okay. So I send you all my love.
All right, Ari, and we send you our love, and we hold the space for everybody that's listening to have the best year yet of your eternal lives. Blessings. See you on Monday.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.